VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel and those nations in opposition to Israel constantly in the news. I mean, consider the recent actions of the Biden administration plunging our nation back into the Iran nuclear deal. Israel saying, we're going to act alone if necessary. Also, a Palestinian scholar recently said that the Jews are the most dangerous enemies of the Muslims and indicated that if Muslims want to live in peace and security, they must get rid of the Jews. And once the world is cleansed of Jews, there will be prosperity. There's the BDS movement, boycott, divest, and sanctions that continues to take aim at Israel. And this hatred of the Jews, folks, it is nothing new. Consider these things as Israel remembers and celebrates Purim beginning at sunset tonight. Well, joining us, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, a student of Bible prophecy, expert on the Middle East. He leads a ministry, Prophecy Today, and has spent many years living in Israel as well as having led many trips there. He's a noted conference speaker, constantly is monitoring news from Israel and the Middle East, and provides this unique blend of political, biblical, and prophetic insight absent from the media today. Dr. DeYoung, thank you for joining us.
Jim, it's my joy always and great opportunity and privilege to partner with you guys here on the Crosstalk.
Well, Dr. DeYoung, let's begin with this day that is celebrating beginning at sunset tonight, Purim in the Middle East. Tell us, what is the significance of this day?
This is a very important Jewish feast day. It's a holy day as far as they are concerned. Now, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, we have seven Jewish feasts. Those are to be observed on an annual basis. God gave Moses those feasts for the Jewish people. Purim is not one of those days, but it is indeed a very, very important holy day. It's recorded in the book of Esther. If your listeners have not read the book of Esther lately, I would suggest even this evening, spend some time. It's a short book. And read the entire book of Esther. It will be a blessing to you. Let me just remind everybody who the characters are. The king of the Persian Empire, controlling the Gentile world power, controlling the entire world, was King Ahasuerus. And he was far richer than the three previous Persian kings, controlled 127 provinces all the way from India into and including in Europe all the way to Spain. So he was a very powerful Gentile leader. And then the man who is the villain of the entire story of Esther is Haman. He was a very wealthy man, number two in the Persian Empire, had so much money. He in fact, paid most of the money to be able to put in place his desire to kill all the Jews. Ahasuerus had a queen. Her name was Vashti. She was a queen for a little bit in the book of Esther, but because of her refusal to perform for the provincial leaders who were going to come in for a period of time, the king had invited them. He asked Vashti to entertain them. She would not do that. And so he had to go after another wife, Mordecai, who is a member of the character, the cast of Esther, is a Jewish man. He had a cousin named Esther. He suggested that Esther try to become the new queen of the Persian Empire and be married to Ahasuerus. Well, she applied. She won the contest. Meanwhile, Haman, the villain, he is very much concerned about these Jews, especially because Mordecai, a Jewish man, would not bow down to him as he entered the gate. So he gets King Ahasuerus to make a decree of the law of the Medes and the Persians to kill all the Jews. Haman would cast a pur. Now, a pur, P-U-R, it's not a Hebrew word. It's a Chaldean or Babylonian word, which means lot, L-O-T, you know, cast a lot. And so he would cast this lot for the day that he was going to put in progress the killing of all the Jews. Of course, Esther the queen comes. She is not known to be a Jewish woman. However, she realizes for such a time as this, she comes into the kingdom. And then she says, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to have to die, but I've got to save my people. the king, when he talked with Queen Esther, realized the problem, the evil plan of Haman. And the king one night could not sleep very well, so he had his people read the Book of Chronicles. Yeah, that's the best way to go to sleep.
Yeah,
I'd have read the Book of Chronicles. But he was listening to that, and he found out that actually Mordecai had saved the king's life early on in the life of the kingdom of the Persian Empire. Well, those gallows that were prepared by Haman for Mordecai, they were used to kill Haman. This is a very, very special feast day. They celebrate it. As you said, it begins at sundown tonight. In Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, talks about it. Purim is the name of that feast day, and Purim is the plural of Pur. And that's where they get the name from them. By the way, just a side note, when you go back to chapter 3, verse 1 of the book of Esther, you'll find out Haman is a descendant of Abadatha, an Agagite. The Agagite, of course, was the king of the Amalekites. The Amalekites, they were a terrible force against the Jewish people as they were traveling in the wilderness, and Amalek established the Amalekites. Oh, by the way, he was a grandson of Esau. Book of Genesis, chapter 35, and verse 13, or verse 12 and 13. That means he is a descendant of Esau and also a part of the line all the way to the Palestinian people today. Very interesting connection.
Wow, it is indeed. And they tried to eradicate the Jews. And, you know, that really brings me to my next point here, because now there is this Palestinian Islamic scholar. I'm going to get his name wrong. It's like Mabra Nassar, the Secretary General of the Jerusalem Committee and the IUM. But he said that the Jews are the most dangerous enemies of Muslims. And if Muslims want to live in peace and security, they must get rid of their enemy, and indicated that Muslims will live their best days after the Muslims kill the Jews and the world will have been cleansed of Jews. Dr. DeYoung, this is really a modern-day Haman, isn't he?
He certainly is. And that's exactly what Esau said, the father of both Haman and this man himself. They said, we're going to, hey, remember when Esau was taken by his brother and deceived, and he gave up his birthright, then he had to give up the blessing from his father because Jacob dressed up like Esau to be able to get that birthright. What did he say? I'm going to kill my brother after the days of the time of concern about the death of his father. That was what his plan was. It's always been the case. And now the Palestinians making this statement. The Palestinian Authority is a propaganda machine. They use the Palestinian media to propagandize all the, first of all, Palestinian people. And this statement made by this Palestinian leader, indicative of the fact he is inciting the Palestinian people to keep up their armed struggle. Now, this has been going on for years. It's nothing new. It's now coming to the front because people like Itamar Marcus, who heads up Palestinian Media Watch, one of my broadcast partners on our national radio programs, he keeps his team focused on what the Palestinian media is saying. That's exactly where they're coming from. They want to wipe the Jews. They have an armed struggle. They're in partnership with Iran. They are becoming Islamic. In fact, the elections upcoming, we'll probably want to talk about that, could set the stage even better because Hamas, located in the Gaza Strip, they want to institute Sharia. Now, Sharia means law in Arabic. The Sharia comes from the Quran, and they call for jihad. That's holy war, a part of exactly what the man is saying. And that's a scenario that's going to unfold today and into the future.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us today. His website, prophecytoday.com. And so we have this Palestinian Islamic scholar calling for this. And Dr. DeYoung, there are also those that are participating in what's called Israel's Apartheid Week, but it's some refer to it as Jew Hate Week. Something that's going on in college and university campuses, taking place in countries around the world. Gatestone Institute pointed out that Congressman Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are among the main cheerleaders here in the United States. But at the very core of this is the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction movement. This is something that's been gaining some traction around the world.
It certainly has been gaining traction. In fact, the college campus is the fertilization area for all of this to take place. The professors in these universities, the two congresswomen that you talked about. They're holding these rallies. They're building up a hatred for the Jewish people. You know, when we talked a moment ago about Purim, it was anti-Semitic because Haman wanted to kill all the Jews mm-hmm. in the world. Well, that's today. We're talking about yes. today, what was happening in Haman and Mordecai and Esther's day being played out again in our day. Everything you just reported, just tangible evidence of mm-hmm. how the Lord is allowing that to happen today.
Let's talk about the Iran nuclear deal. I mean, the news coming out this week that former Obama administration officials, including the former Secretary of State John Kerry, went behind President Trump's back using back channels with Iran and then actually met with Iranian officials regarding this. And, you know, we're going to get back into power. We're going to institute this deal. A lot of things were going on behind the back of President Trump.
Well, they were going on behind Trump, but Trump had the insight to shut it down, apply sanctions to the Iranian people, the Iranian government, take away the money that was being given to them, which was being used, number one, to develop a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, and number two, to fund all the terroristic activities. And Iran, of course, the state sponsor of terror in the Middle East, but it's going across the entire world. And here in America, if we ever had time, that would be an interesting discussion to take place. But the Iranian nuclear deal is a part of the O'Biden administration when he brought it into existence in 2015. But just think about this for a moment. All those players, every one of those actors that put that Iranian nuclear deal together are now cabinet members, are key players in the Biden administration. Hello? You know, what else would they try to do?
Right.
And in that conversation that finally President Biden had with Prime Minister Netanyahu, they very briefly talked about it. I mean, he didn't want to get into it with Netanyahu, but that's exactly what's happening today.
Let's mention this phone call, and we're going to probe a little bit more about this Iran nuclear deal, but it just seems unconscionable that President Biden waited 4 full weeks before he called our ally, I mean, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and this was only done after he received tons of criticism for not reaching out to Israel. Do you believe this neglect of Israel is telling about a warm relationship that we've had with Israel turning into a cold relationship?
Absolutely. It was done on purpose. Politicians don't make mistakes. Don't just procrastinate. They had a plan put together. I think one of the reasons that Biden waited so long to call him, among many others, was number one, there's an election, an Israeli election, upcoming in March the 23rd, mm-hmm. and the Biden administration did not want Israelites, the people of Israel, to think about the fact that the Biden administration may be pro-Netanyahu. They, of course, want him to lose, and I think that was a part of it. However, there's a one plus to it. Prime Minister Netanyahu was the first Middle Eastern leader that was called by President Biden. He was in the top 10. I think it was number 9, but he finally did give him a call. We may want to discuss that call just a little bit more after the break, but amazingly, how politics is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
And folks, we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old are the glaciers of Greenland?
You know, Chris, the glaciers of Greenland are many thousands of feet thick, leading many to conclude that it would take long periods of time for the snow to build up. Well, here's something to think about. Two American planes from World War II had to be abandoned on a Greenland glacier. Some 50 years later, a group went back to try and find and restore those now rare aircraft. It turned out they were buried beneath 250 feet of solid ice. Obviously, it doesn't take many thousands of years to build up that huge thickness. The expeditioners retrieved one of those planes and have now restored it, and it can be seen at air shows around the country. Chris, when we see this plane fly, we can enjoy the fact that this is just another evidence that the Back to Genesis truth of creation is accurate.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
We'll be right back.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung from the Prophecy Today, and talking about Purim, talking about the Iran nuclear deal, another Middle East news. Dr. DeYoung, we were talking about 4 full weeks before the Israeli prime minister was called by President Biden. It was really like an eternity as far as normally an incoming administration wants to, you know, deal with their allies quickly and establish those relationships. But 4 full weeks, and that was only after criticism came to Mr. Biden for not reaching out there. Tell us more about this phone call.
Well, many in Israel, of course, the political leadership of Israel were complaining about it publicly. Prime Minister Netanyahu put a good face on it. He tried to say, well, we're friends. We've been friends for a long time. In part, that was exactly what they talked about at the beginning of an hour-long conversation that they had. But the Israelis, and in particular the prime minister, wanted that phone call to try to understand what the Middle East policy was going to be for the new Biden administration. Quite interesting, they were also watching that President Biden called the Red Chinese nation, called the president of Red China, and spent 2 hours on the telephone, and that's of concern to the Israelis. Let me tell you why that is the case. One perfect example is the $400 billion, that's a B, $400 billion invested by the Chinese in Iran, the development of their nuclear weapon, monies to be able to finance terroristic activities. And by the way, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps going across the entire Middle East, doing what they can to radicalize the young men. They're not getting them all, but they're trying to put an army together because of the eschatology, because the Iranians, they want to put together a worldwide caliphate, a worldwide kingdom. So they need a Mahdi militia. Mahdi in Arabic meaning Messiah, militia meaning a military operation. So $400 billion invested by the Chinese. Israel is watching that, and they see he calls China first with all that's been going on between the Bidens and China. But this is only the beginning of trouble. China has invested enormous amounts of money across all of Africa. Got to remember, Africa is quickly becoming an Islamic Republic, almost the entire continent. Mm-hmm. And they're becoming very powerful in the Middle East, the Chinese are. So with you put that there in front of the Israeli leaders, you watch what's going on. Interesting to me was the conversations that the people, the military leadership, was having with some of the leaders of the new Biden administration, and in particular the foreign minister, that's the same as our Secretary of State. But Tony Blinken, just a couple of days before the call came in to the prime minister, he made a statement about the Golan Heights. Now, the Golan Heights are key. They are key for the Jewish people. In fact, more so than the Iranian nuclear deal, even than the Palestinian two-state solution. The Bible tells us, Book of Daniel, chapter 11, starting in verse 40, that the first nation in the Middle East, the Islamic nation, that will come against the Jewish state to wipe them off the face of the earth is going to be Syria. And remember, Syria controlled the Golan Heights for 19 years, 1948 to 1967. They lost it in 67 in the Six-Day War. You've got to remember, every single day, the Syrian military would come down to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They would fire at Tiberias, the largest community in the Golan Heights area. They would also stop all the water from coming in. You see, the Sea of Galilee is totally given water from the Golan Heights, and it coming down there. It's a major water supply, so it's key. But really, what's so exciting, I was reading the other day in my quiet time the book of Joshua. Chapter 20, verse 8 of Joshua, chapter 21, verse 27, talks about God telling Joshua to give the half tribe of Manasseh the Golan. And by the way, that word Golan is used 4 times in the Bible. Another name for the Golan Heights called Bashan. It's used 59 times in the Bible. And there was a big major military problem in the Golan Heights back 3,500 years ago. So the Lord told Joshua, give that piece of real estate in the Golan Heights to the half tribe of Manasseh. They are military experts. They'll go up and shut that down. So for 3,500 years, God has said the land belongs to the Jewish people. Politicians have not learned a thing by looking at history. That's where they have failed.
Mike Pompeo, our former Secretary of State, he indicated that the Biden administration is about to throw away our success with Iran. Here's what he said, quote, "I do worry that the administration wants to coddle the regime in Iran, wants to hug them close and appease them. These are the kinds of things that create risk in the Middle East." Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree 1,000% with Mike Pompeo. He was very much concerned about, we were just talking about the Golan Heights. Mm-hmm. He's the one that really gave the authority to the Israeli to take sovereignty over the Golan Heights. In fact, he referred back to 40 years ago when Menachem Begin, then prime minister, first stated that Israel had the security position in the Golan Heights and it was a sovereign piece of real estate for the Jewish state of Israel. But there is many, many questions. You can read the newspapers. If anybody listening to us today, spend time in reading some of the Middle Eastern newspapers. There's a number of them you can get information from. Even the BBC and their website as well are talking about those leaders in the Middle East that believe and are making open public statements that Biden is a weak president. This is the time for us to make the move. Well, the Iranians are not stupid. They see this. They understand what's going on. They realize how tough Trump was and what they had to suffer through there. But now, even before he becomes president, before his inauguration, he announced he was going to reinstitute Iranian nuclear deal that his former boss, President Obama, put in place. And as I did say just a moment ago, we mentioned some of the players with the Obama administration are now in the cabinet of Joe Biden. He is simply showing weakness, and in the Islamic world, you don't show weakness. That's an invitation to try to wipe you out.
My. Well, as we were talking about that Iran nuclear deal and the sanctions here, we got the Iran's leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, demanding President Biden lift the sanctions completely. China has been very much against the sanctions against Iran, urging for sanctions to be lifted. And you talked about China there. Israel, of course, has not been too happy about the U.S. wanting to join back with this nuclear deal. And Israel has said, we'll go it alone if necessary here. Will Israel actually go it alone?
Absolutely, they'll go it alone, Jim. Let me tell you what some of the discussion in the Israeli Defense Force has been, and that is that if indeed the Biden administration goes ahead and renews this nuclear deal with Iran, because they're very close, many have said, some experts, even the Biden administration and their Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, made this statement, that the Iranians could have a nuclear weapon within 2 weeks. They've been breaking the rules of the original Iranian nuclear deal. Why do we think they're going to do anything different? And the fact is that when you hear the supreme leader, he's the one that calls the shots. The Ayatollah calls the shots. He's the head of the Supreme Council. And with his Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps putting together this Mahdi militia with their eschatology and everything else, it's very dangerous. Netanyahu said, we're ready to do a preemptive strike. They've been practicing on that situation. They will go it alone. Netanyahu told me, I asked him directly, person to person, I said, when will you go after the Iranian nukes if you have to? He said, when my intelligence committee tells me that they're going to put a nuclear weapon of mass destruction mounted on one of those Shahab 3 missiles, and they're going to aim it as Israel, we will go. We will do a preemptive strike.
Wow.
They mean it. It will happen.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us here today. Presidential elections coming up again in Israel. You mentioned March 23rd. I thought everything was in place for 4 years. Kind of have a split government, 2 years for Likud and 2 years for Benny Gantz's party?
That's a parliamentary system, and that was what was supposed to be happening. That is the agreement that Benny Gantz made with the prime minister. Benny Gantz was appointed as the minister of defense, but they've been arguing ever since that format went into place, and they just fell apart. A number of issues caused them to fall apart. Now it looks like Netanyahu has a leg up on being able to form a right-wing government which would keep him in as prime minister. That's not a foregone conclusion. What has been going on in the last couple of weeks is there are 42 parties. Can you believe that, Jim?
Wow, wow.
42 political parties are running to see if they can win seats in the Knesset. The way it works in Israel, the election will elect members of the Knesset, and they will elect them by party, and each party has a list of 120 members in the Knesset. Each party has a list of 120, and they start at the top, and how many votes they get is divvied up, and they get that many votes, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, the Likud party, which is Netanyahu's party, they're leading at this point in time. But another of other parties, one split off of Likud, he's pretty strong. He's pretty right-wing as well, more central than right-wing. But then there's some Orthodox Jews, the guy Naftali Bennett, who used to head up the settlers there in the area of Judea and Samaria. He's coming on really strong. He has a mixed emotion about Netanyahu. A lot of it, when you look at the elections upcoming, is do you want to take Netanyahu out of office? He's the longest-serving prime minister in the history of the state of Israel. Or would you really like to just go in and have a good government? You're right, a two-year situation. It was a four-year situation. That's what they're elected for. But they can call a vote of non-confidence and bring the entire government down in a moment. That's the parliamentary system. It's the way it operates. They think that that's the best way. They got that from Great Britain when the British were so much involved in the land of Israel. But it's a flawed way to run a government, as you've just indicated, with the fact that they're now going to have another. This is going to be the fourth in just over a two-year period of time.
Yeah, amazing.
The fourth election.
Wow. And I understand Iran is scheduled to have an election in 2021 as well.
Yeah, and there, you know, Rouhani, who is the president of Iran, is not going to be allowed to run for office again. He's gone through the extent of his time as the president of Iran. Guess whose name has just appeared, and there's possibility he could come back to power? Ahmadinejad.
Oh, my.
He was the guy who started the statement, we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. You know, that's almost a quote from the book of Psalm, chapter 83 and verse 4, where a coalition of these Islamic nations get together and they say, let's form a coalition. We're going to go out, wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that her name be forgotten forever. Well, they're not going to be able to do that. They're going to fail. God's going to intercede. He's going to wipe out the Islamic world. And that's going to be, I believe, in the first 6 months of the tribulation period. So Iran putting their elections together, they may try to somewhat, Rouhani, who is the president now, has been a middle of the roader. He's tried to play, you know, with both sides of the fence. But I'm not sure that Ahmadinejad, if he should be elected, would do that. And the concern is that whoever runs for office, whoever becomes the next president, has to be chosen by that Supreme Council. And so these Ayatollahs, they said who's going to be the candidate. They can put who they want in that position.
We're going to take a quick break here. And friends, hang on to your hats here, because now we have the Pope calling for the Sons of Abraham prayer event to be taking place. We'll discuss that right after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us here today on Crosstalk. Again, we're talking about Purim. We're talking about the Iran nuclear deal, other Middle East news. Certainly China factors into this as well, as Dr. DeYoung pointed out earlier. Friends, you'll find a lot of information on his website, prophecytoday.com, prophecytoday.com. Matter of fact, just a little while before coming into the studio here, Dr. DeYoung, I went to prophecytoday.com and I saw this story there about the Pope holding a Sons of Abraham prayer event coming up in March. What's that all about?
Well, the Pope has decided to take his plan to put interfaith prayer groups together. He started it at the Vatican about a month ago, but really at the end of January, 1st of February. But now he's taking his show on the road. And back when Pope John Paul was the Pope, he tried to go into Iraq. That was during the times of Saddam Hussein. That was all shut down. But now the Pope sees an opening. And actually, he's going to head out. He's going to the archaeological site of Ur of the Chaldees. That's the birthplace, of course, of Abraham. And he says that Abraham was the father of all the faiths, which is not true. Abraham didn't establish the people, the Islamic people. That was his son, and he only established one state, and that was the state of Saudi Arabia today. You've got to understand that's Genesis chapter 17 and verse 20. So the Pope did not father the Islamic world. He was made the father of the Jewish world. But the Pope says, hey, I can go to this neutral location for Abraham or the Chaldees. I'll have a, first of all, bring a group of visitors, tourists with me. The Iraqis really need tourism to be reinstituted, of course, after the Iraqi war, after the coronavirus situation. They're starting to open up. And they used to have many, in the 70s and 80s, they had many visitors come to visit Ur of the Chaldees, which is about 200 miles southeast out of the city of Baghdad. But it's not that far away from Babylon itself, the literal city of Babylon, which is very great prophetic significance, Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And they believe, and I talked on my radio broadcast for this weekend, Prophecy Today weekend, I talked with Mike Gendron, who stays on top of the Pope's activities, and he made this statement that he sees that their agenda may include a visit over to Babylon itself, and I'm wanting to get my camera crew and go to both places. I would love to do my next TV special from there, my documentary. However, what the Pope is going to do, he is going to have an interfaith prayer meeting. That's what they started the Vatican. He's trying to intermingle all of these faiths together, Catholicism with Islam, the Jews. But, you know, the problem with the Jews there, as far as the interfaith activities, there's only about a half a dozen Jews living still in Iraq. There used to be hundreds and thousands of them. That was the original Babylon, when you go back in the Old Testament. Many Jews left and came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, but there were many Jews. In fact, that's where Purim was located, when you stop to think about it, there in that area of the Persian Empire. So the Pope is trying to do that. Pope is very actively wanting to pull this interfaith prayer group together. It's a dangerous situation. It does smack of Revelation 17, the establishment of a one-world religion located there in the city of Rome. And because of that, you've got to understand what the Pope is doing is simply setting the stage for those prophecies, especially there in the book of Revelation chapter 17 in the city of Rome, that the revived world religiosity, that's what it talks about.
Dr. DeYoung with us here today. Very interesting. And all of this, Dr. DeYoung, in light of Bible prophecy, as you say, often say, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. None of these things that are going on, whether it be the, you know, what's happening with BDS, whether we see these statements that are coming from leaders and clerics and so forth, none of this is by accident. All of this is setting that stage at this time, is it not?
Oh, absolutely, and that's a great observation. So glad that you brought that up, Jim. The fact is, the next event on God's calendar of activities, prophetic activities, will be the rapture of the church, when Jesus calls those of us who are Christians into the heavenlies to be with him forevermore. Now, everything that we've been talking about and any of the prophecies that I mentioned will happen after the rapture of the church. The rapture takes place. That starts the clock ticking on the tribulation period, and all this going to unfold into eternity future. So the rapture's next. That's why it's so key when you understand this information, when you see how the stage is indeed being set. You need to make preparation for that rapture. And if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're prepared for the rapture. Make sure you're living pure. 1 John chapter 3, live pure in light of what's about to happen. Mm. And of course, be productive until the rapture does take place. Don't sit down on your blessed assurance. If you want to see Babylon, we're talking about Babylon in a moment, go to my website, prophecytoday.com. On the homepage, left-hand column, it says the top 10. And these are news stories, the top 10 news stories we've had back over the last week for sure. But you can see the Ishtar Gate there. You can see, and they have a video in the article that you were looking at, how that all unfolds in early Chaldees. Be a great visit for our friends to take, be able to see what we were talking about.
Our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask Dr. DeYoung on these very issues that we're discussing here today, 1-800-733-9829. Purim, the Iran nuclear deal, other Middle East news going on, the impact of China, of course, the threats that are coming against Israel, and Israel saying we will go it alone. Elections coming up. Our number again is 800-733-9829 for Crosstalk today to speak with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Also, as he mentioned, prophecytoday.com is the website. You can click on the top 10 daily news stories there, and you'll find a lot of information as to goings-on as well. But today's your opportunity to call, speak with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. If you have a question you'd like to pose of him, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Tempe, Arizona. And Tony, you're on the air. Tony. Hello, Tony. Tone down the radio. Tony. Okay. We're going to lose Tony there. You have to have the radio down, folks, as you pick up your phone and call here, and because there is delay, and you're going to get, crosstalk, literally, as it comes through in that regard. So, again, our number, 800-733-9829 for today's crosstalk. We're going to pick up our next call. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona, and Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. God bless you both. And, you know, Dr. DeYoung, I've listened to you off and on for many years. Could you comment on something I read? I was a teacher in the Boston area, and I remember reading from the Boston Globe maybe 25 years ago, give or take, that China had announced that it had a standing army of 200 million. And I mean, that comes right from 200,000 in the Bible. And, they had already announced it, that they have the numbers in place.
Dr. DeYoung.
Well, that is correct. They have that large of a military operation. When you think about the reserved military and the standing military today, that is the number. In fact, I spoke at the Pentagon. I was teaching a prophecy class to a group of generals there. And there was a colonel who was responsible for all troop movement. And he confirmed to me that was the case. That's the actual number. And in fact, that number, 200,000 or 200 million, is used there in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. But let me just say this. In the context of chapter 9, that's the trumpet judgments. In that context, it's not talking about a military operation of China. China's not mentioned till chapter 16, verse 12, where it talks about the kings of the east. In chapter 9, I think it's verse 16, it's talking about the fact that this group of 200 million will be evil angels that will be cast out of the heavenlies at the midway point of the tribulation. They will come down to the earth. They've had access to the first and second heaven, not the third heaven, where God is. Only Satan has had that access, chapter 12 and verse 10 of Revelation. But when you look at the 200 million there, that's talking about the evil angels that were in the bottomless pit, the abyss. They are cast out of there, and they're thrown down to the earth. And then It's after that when China becomes the major player and has that mighty army. So just make sure you understand the context. When you study Bible prophecy, context, there's three rules in studying Bible prophecy. Context, context, context. So be sure you study context on the issues that you bring up.
Go ahead, Greg.
One more. Okay. Yeah. You know, in a history book, a seventh grade history book, again, going back 20 to 25 years, it announced that Iran had the capacity to shut off the water in the Euphrates River where they were building hydroelectric dams. And, of course, you know, it's supposed to be the dried-up Euphrates that the army from the east marches across. And I just thought that was very interesting, reading it in a regular, you know, secondary school history book.
Yeah, well, again, I just want to fine-tune what you're thinking about. It's not Iran, because the Euphrates River actually comes out of Russia, comes down through the area of Turkey, and then goes into Syria, goes into Jordan, goes through over into Iraq, and then into the Persian Gulf. Now, the Turks have that opportunity to shut off that. In fact, Tayyip Erdogan controls 21 dams on the Euphrates River in the nation of Turkey. And you might remember a couple of years ago, he actually closed those dams down to stop the water. Hafez al-Assad, who was then alive, president of Syria, and Saddam Hussein, who was the president of Iraq, they went livid because they rely on the water from the Euphrates River to stay alive. But what the Turkish leader Erdogan said is, hey, you guys have oil, I have water, let's make a deal. And so he was showing them. Now, is God going to use that to shut down the Euphrates River, these dams? I don't know that.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably be more miraculous with the hand of God. But it could be he could use dams to do that in Turkey, and that is a part of the prophetic scenario for the future.
Thank you, Greg, for the call. We're going next to Arlene in Phoenix. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, when Jimmy DeYoung was saying that the rapture is the next thing on the time clock, did that mean that it would become that it would come before we see serious persecution in this nation?
In this nation or in the Middle East?
In this nation.
Well, the persecution is going to happen across the world. In fact, persecution, I don't know if you've read some recent reports about the Christians across the world, especially in Africa, especially in the Middle East, especially in Syria and in Iran, Christians are being persecuted and even killed by the numbers you would not even believe. So that is key. But that's not the persecution, as you would say, the tribulation period. The tribulation period starts after the rapture of the church. It's a seven-year period of time leading up to the second coming of Christ. That persecution, which is referred to in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30 and verse 7, is the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a terrible time. It's not the persecution we may be facing here in America.
Thank you, Arlene. And yeah, there is no carve-out for the United States believers not to have any kind of persecution like believers in other parts of the world are experiencing right now. We'll be back in 1 minute taking more of your calls. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us, prophecytoday.com.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I spent hours listening to the keynote addresses from the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Conference. Hours, boring hours, listening to pull out the few nuggets. What were they saying that I call nuggets? Well, they were spilling their guts on what they really want to accomplish, which is global fascism. They were openly talking about merging big government and big business. They were talking about social credit scores virtually for American corporations and all corporations worldwide. Those corporations that obey the political correctness when it comes to radical environmentalism, social justice, critical race theory, and others, well, they'll be rewarded. They openly called for punishment on the corporations that don't obey. Understand, social credit scores are coming for individuals and for your small business, and they will punish you if you don't get in line.
Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy DeYoung has provided for VCY, the part of our VCY Bible Institute. We have it online, but he's got courses on there, Prophecy Through the Bible, Part 1, Part 2. You can download notes, take the course, watch videos, take the quizzes, get a certificate when you complete it. All the details at vcybible.org, vcybible.org. We've got William calling in from Columbia, Kentucky. And, William, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I have a question for the doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering about this Joe Biden has started on this Second Amendment, and I wonder if he thinks that this Hitler thing years ago, could we be facing the same thing for the United States of America with this new president and gun control to get the guns out of the American people's hands? And I was wondering what his thought was on that.
Dr. DeYoung.
Well, let me just mention, and I think Jim mentioned it a few moments ago, I did, that the United States is not found in Bible prophecy, with maybe one exception over there in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2, where it says at the time of the return of Jesus Christ, not the rapture, but 7 years later, at the time of that return, all the nations of the world will gather at Jerusalem. Now, should America be around? I don't think they're going to be. I think when the rapture takes place, it totally is going to destroy this nation. We're the Christians are the backbone of this nation. So I think that's going to be the problem, and the nation, the United States, is going to have to be dissolved in order for the Islamic world to go after the Jewish state of Israel. As it relates to the Second Amendment, I think it's very scary. I'm not a political guy. I'm simply a prophetic teacher. But I think it's very scary when they start saying they want to take away your guns. And somebody said the other day, you're going to take mine, you're going to have to pry it out of the cold hands of my fingers to get my gun. I think that's a very dangerous situation. I think the nation needs to wake up. Political leaders, do this. Do this for me. My wife and I do it every night. Pray for those that are in higher authority. I first of all pray for President Biden, Kamala Harris. I pray for Chuck Schumer, and I pray for Nancy Pelosi. All four of those major four leaders of this nation, I pray for them to get saved. And then I pray. Bible says in Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 and 20, it talks about, hey, Satan controls political leaders of the world. Pray that the Lord will defeat Satan in the lives of these. That would be the first thing I would say, the number one priority. And then make sure you keep your guns and load up for the future.
Well, thank you, William, for the call. Jan is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to ask Dr. Young about two different texts in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation in King James. One of them is that there is a beast power that sits on seven hills, a city that sits on seven hills. Is that Rome? Doesn't it sit on seven hills? And then also there is a text that says, come out of her, my people, that you be not part of her sins and her plagues. Could you comment on that?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Rome is the seven-hilled city mentioned there in chapter 17 and verse 9. And that is the case because when in 95 A.D., you had John the Revelator write, the Apostle John, to write the book of Revelation. That was the seven-hilled city. There are other seven-hilled cities in the world, but in context with the study of the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 9, that seven-hilled city has to be the city of Rome, Italy. And when you put everything else together, it's going to be the headquarters. For it says there in verse 5 of chapter 17, Babylon, the mother of all harlots. And when you go to verse 12 of chapter 17, it talks about the revived Roman Empire. So all of those help you in the context of chapter 17 to realize that Seven Hill City is Rome. And that's the first most important prophetic nation or city that is mentioned in the Word of God. Jerusalem is later. Rome is first and it's upcoming next.
The other part she was asking about, that passage, well, come out of her?
Talking about Babylon itself, and that's going to, the Lord talks about, over in chapters 50 and 51 of Jeremiah, it gives the demise of Babylon. It talks much about the Jewish people being there. Remember, that's where they were during the Babylonian captivity, but they're told to come out, and the Revelation talks about it as well. That's the last days. It's going to be key. when you look over there in the chapter 16, verse 12, where it talks about China, who we've mentioned today, they're part of the kings of the East. But when you look at chapter 16, verses 13, over to chapter 16, verse 16, you're talking about Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet forming a coalition of nations to try to take on Jesus when he returns, and they'll use signs, wonders, and miracles to make all of that happen. You see, I mentioned that, Jim, because what we're seeing happening in our world, even the Christian world, we're seeing everything being prepared for these prophecies to be fulfilled.
Thank you, Jen, for the call. Chris is next in Oshkosh. You're on the air.
Yeah, just a quick comment. After spending quite a number of years in the Word, I unfortunately have come to the conclusion, along with prompting the Holy Spirit, I don't believe a lot of people are going in the rapture. I think only people that are truly on fire for God, truly serving God, and truly serving His people are the ones that are going to go in the rapture.
Okay.
Here's the question. What will you be doing when the Lord returns? Thank you.
Well, that's a great question. What will you be doing when the Lord returns? But I have to say, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, other passages of Scripture, John over there in chapter 14, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, I would have to say that all Christians, we are no more condemned. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we are no more condemned. No more judgment upon us. We are all Christian. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed away all of sin, not just the ones that we did today or last week, all sins, even the ones in the future. So I believe all Christians will go. After that, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. Immediately after the rapture, we stand in front of Jesus. The judgment seat of Christ takes place, and that will be a time when we're not going to be judged for our sin, that we're going to be judged for the works that we did in His power for His glory. Now, if you're not a true Bible-believing, born-again, consecrated Christian, you're not going to be doing works for Him, but you're not going to lose your salvation in the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to have loss of works at the judgment seat. It's going to be a time of sorrow. And those works, those rewards that we're giving, those crowns, set up our job description forever.
Thank you. We're out of time. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, thank you for being with us today.
My joy. Keep looking up. The rapture could happen today.
The website, prophecytoday.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.